Fuel your summer fun at GNC. Now, top performance products, buy one, get one half off. Fuel your training, fuel your recovery, fuel your wallet. At GNC, it's buy one, get one half off. Storewide mix and match. Sale ends June 27th. GNC.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today we're going to be talking with John and Judy Gill, who are experienced long-range cruisers and, of course, Gold Loopers. And we're going to be talking about making sure that you have very clean water, both coming from the dock and in your house systems as well, which is very important for long-range cruisers. Before I bring in John and Judy, I do want to take a moment to thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage all the loopers and other listeners out there to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with the business out of the way, I would like to welcome John and Judy Gill to this program. Hello, John and Judy. Thanks for joining me.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
We're doing great.
Good. Just to familiarize everyone with you a little bit, just let's start by talking about your boating experience in general.
Well, I've been married for 54 years almost, and I've owned boats up until only 2 years of those 54 years did we not have a boat. We went from a trailer boat club for 20 years on the Chesapeake, saw almost everything on the Chesapeake, to then buying our 36-footer, which we started to outfit and then did the loop over a three-year period because we wanted to stop and smell the roses. And since then, we belong to a yacht club in the United States Power Squadron, and we've gone on weeks cruises and trips with them. As I said, at one time, we had five boats. We kiddingly said that we had 85 feet of boat, but they were only in five sections. So,
the other thing that Kim had... we should say is that Judy, her parents vacationed on Sparrow Lake on the Trent Severn Waterway for probably over 60 years, and my folks had a cabin out in the Georgian Bay about 3 miles from Sans Souci, which everybody knows for Henry's Fish Camp. So that's right. Where we had boating experiences when we were younger before we got married.
Well, great. The topic we're going to talk about today is something that you've got a lot of experience in and something that you've written an article about that's on your website. We're going to talk about making sure you have healthy, clean, potable water aboard. So start off by telling us why that's so important for long-range cruisers.
Well, Kim, let us start by saying in this podcast that contaminated water will make one very sick and sicker quicker than almost anything else. That is why the topic is so important to long-range cruisers like AGLCA members. Members who must obtain their water supply needs from some questionable sources, or else they must buy, transport, and store large quantities of bottled water on board.
Right, and transporting large quantities is certainly not convenient when you're on the loop, so it's best off to set yourself up before you leave so that you have a clean, ready-to-go system. And this topic popped up on our members' discussion forum this week, and you both chimed in with some great information, which is why I thought this would be a good topic. But let's start at the beginning, because I think the question on the forum actually started with asking a question about a white water hose. And I know we had some people who weren't actually familiar with that. So tell us what a white water hose is, what it's for, and what to look for when we're out there ready to purchase one.
First, you should only use an FDA-approved SNF. That's a National Sanitation Foundation white water hose. That would be labeled as such. Common garden hoses are made of reground rubber and plasticizers. used to make them soft, and that those plasticizers can leach into the water. That makes the water contaminated of, in some nature if you're using just a plain ordinary hose and not the white water hose. Some other things when you're using a white water hose is purchase some end caps or put the two hose ends together. That will keep contaminants out like insects, et cetera, when you're just carrying it and storing it. We also talk a little bit, or we think a little bit, that a hose should be sanitized every few months to ensure that it remains clean and free of algae. We've had that experience with our boat quite a bit where the algae has grown on the white water hose. The white water hose lets in light, and this promotes that algae growth. To do this, one would soak the hose overnight with a chlorine bleach water solution and then rinse well. A little bit of a solution would be 1/4 cup of bleach to a gallon of water. Then you rinse with 1/2 cup of baking soda and 1 gallon of water to remove the bleach smell and taste. Then run water through the hose before you're using again, and we run it through quite a bit to make sure that all the algae that is stuck to the sides of the hose has gotten loose and is eliminated from the hose. But the white water hose I would not be using for any kind of drinking water, would not be using any type of anything else but the white water approved labeled hose.
Okay. And how often is it a regular schedule that you would do that process to remove the algae, or just when you see it start to crop up?
We have two hoses coming into our boat. One comes to a filter, and when we start to see the filter get a little contaminated, then we know that the hoses are starting to act up, so to speak, and we'll go in and do it. For us, maybe a couple times during the summer because we're not there, our hoses are protected a little bit, so we don't have quite the worry that some people do, but I would check them at least at once a month or so.
Okay. And I think it's an interesting topic because so many of us grew up playing outside and just drinking out of the garden hose when we got thirsty. And I think part of the thing that's different here is that this is really your sole source of drinking water, unless you're going to tote bottled water with you. So it's different than taking a sip here or two. You really want to make sure that you have a clean water supply because it can affect your health through the drinking water. But I know in your article you mentioned all of the other things that you may not think of that you're doing with that water, including making coffee or boiling pasta or potatoes. So you definitely want to make sure that hose, starting from the hose, that you have the right type and keep it clean. So once we've got the FDA-approved white water hose, when we pull into a marina, we're getting ready to tie up, and of course we're going to connect the water to the water supply there. What should we do first?
Well, the first thing that you want to do, Kim, is run the water out of the dockside spigot until you're sure that it's running clean. We've had some horrible experiences once down in Florida where we literally had, I want to say, 1.5 feet of slime come out of that stanchion spigot. We also went into a marina where we had our boat was on a transient dock, and it literally came out with brown rust to the point it was so bad that we had to wash the boat.
Wash the side of the boat.
Wow.
You also have in some well water marinas, when it gets in the height of the season and they've had some drought, you can literally get sand coming through the system. What you have to remember is that the water that's in the pipes on a dock has been sitting basically underneath the planking of the deck of the dock, and it's been sitting out there in the hot sun all week or month long, and all kinds of bacteria, yeast, fungi are growing in those pipes. So you want to try to get it coming as clean as you can before you hook it up to your boat. If you're in doubt at all, fill a clear glass and make sure it looks clear and is cool. Okay, even city water that's allowed to stand for a length of time in the pipes along the docks and turn sour or become contaminated. That's even city water that's got chlorine in it.
The Florida marina that we had the slime come out of was a major city water supply.
Yeah, it was a municipal marina. And
in a municipal marina, so it can happen anywhere.
And I guess if you had hooked up your hose without running it first, that slime would have just gone directly into the hose and continued on into your system. So certainly would want that to happen. One of the things that you recommend in your article and in your posts on our forum is a water pressure regulator. Tell us why and more about what that is.
Well, the situation with water systems are made to withstand 40 PSI or pounds per square inch of pressure. In many marinas, particularly municipal-owned marinas, we have found the water pressure as high as 90 PSI. That's enough to blow out the boat's regulator. There's a water regulator at most intake ports on boats, but that's enough to blow out that port completely and flood the bilge.
We had a friend who came into a municipal marina and all of a sudden couldn't figure out why the bilges were running. And they had literally blown the regulator that's right behind the intake on their boat. Most boats have a regulator or a reducer right behind the intake. And they had literally blown it and were filling the bilge up with water.
Okay. So where in the system do you put the water pressure regulator?
Okay. It's a good idea to install the water pressure regulator at the water stanchion spigot before you hook up your white hose to it, and that protects the hose as well as the entire system.
Actually, in our boat, we put two on. We put one right at the stanchion, then we have another one fairly close to where it goes into the water after it's gone through the first filter, and then, of course, we have the boat regulator. So we have three. We've been in a marina where the pressure was twice, 90 PSI, and the first time, we had forgotten to put the regulator on, and my brother started screaming at me, "Judy, come out here, come out here, look." And they had literally blown up the hose.
Like a balloon.
It was three times the size, and when it finally blew up, it blew off the stanchion. Of course, the water was running all over the place. This time, we literally ruined the hose. We had to go replace it because the pressure was so high. The funny story of that was John went over to the marina manager and said, "What's the pressure in this marina?" And he very proudly told us it was 90 PSI. And John says, "How many boats?" And John said, "How many boats have you sunk?" And the guy said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Boats are only meant to take 40 PSI, pounds per square inch, not 90. And if you don't have a reducer, there's a sign in one of the other marinas we've been in, 'Please don't keep your water on. We have high pressure.'" And that sign is all over the marina. So it is common to have high pressure in some of, particularly the municipal marinas.
Very good to know.
Pressure is either.
Yeah.
And as you said, you have three actually on your boat, and like most things on boats, having redundancy is always helpful. So, but once you've attached the water pressure regulator, you also recommend a water pressure gauge. So where should that be placed, and what should we be checking for? Is that just to make sure that the regulator is working properly?
Well, it's always good to know exactly what's going into the boat and what the pressure is. Look for a good gauge with a dial and a needle showing the amount of water pressure. These are readily available from most marine stores and or an RV store. The folks out there that running around with RVs have the same problems that we do. So if you can't find what you want in a marine store, go to an RV store, and the stuff is readily available at most of them.
Actually, we just bought one last week, another one, a new one.
So we've talked about the pressure and getting the water to the boat essentially at the right pressure and keeping that white water hose clean. What we haven't talked about yet really is filtering that water, because we all know that the city water or the well water is not necessarily of the quality that you want for drinking water. So we're going to take a quick break and play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we'll dive into that topic of filtering the water that you're going to be drinking.
Before
be back in a moment.
Have a couple things to talk about that water pressure gauge again.
Okay, perfect. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll pick up again with the water pressure gauge.
Thank you.
The new MJM 50Z is the most technologically advanced production motor yacht available. first worldwide to incorporate a Seakeeper gyro stabilizer as standard equipment to virtually eliminate roll in waves underway or at anchor. And in June 2015, the first to include fully opening power windshields for control of fresh air flow. MJMs are unique in the industry, built of environmentally clean, stronger and lighter epoxy composites in the USA. Owner benefits are significant: a smaller carbon footprint with 50 to 100% better fuel efficiency, a top speed with optional triple IPS 600s of 40 knots and cruise of 35 knots, a more responsive, enjoyable driving experience, and greater safety offshore. For more information, visit them on the web at www.mjmyachts.com.
We're back on Great Loop Radio. Today we are joined by John and Judy Gill, who are Gold Loopers and highly experienced long-range cruisers, who have also written pretty extensively on ensuring potable drinking water aboard. So where we left off, we were talking a little bit about the water pressure gauge. Let's pick up there again. What else can you tell us about that?
We wanted to tell you where to install it. The gauge should be installed just before the in-house water supply inlet on your boat, so right at the boat, just before the water supply comes into the boat. That way you will know exactly how much pressure will be on your plumbing system. As we've stated before, the maximum pressure for a boat should not exceed 40 pounds per square inch. That's important. We check ours regularly.
Okay. So, of course, you check it when you first hook it up, and then how often is regularly? Is that something you check every day?
Every once in a while, if I'm at the water sink, at the sink washing dishes or filling something, all of a sudden I'll maybe not have the right water pressure, so I'll go out and check it and make sure that I'm getting water pressure into the boat, and if I'm not, then I know it's a dock problem, and if I am, then maybe I've blown a line in the boat. Who knows, mm-hmm. You know? One day we went hooked up and I couldn't get any water, and the water pressure gauge was showing 40 pounds, and all of a sudden I found out one of the lines to my salon water supply had come off, and I was dumping water into the boat. So that's a way of checking of whether you have any leaks in your boat and your water.
Great, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, definitely a nice early warning system for problems like that.
Right, and the gauge will tell you.
Good.
Okay.
Let's move on, if we can, now to filtering the water that you're going to be used for drinking. How do we go about ensuring the highest quality, uncontaminated drinking water aboard?
Okay, there are several types of filters that one can use to ensure good drinking water. The first kind is a charcoal and sediment filter. This will only help with the water taste and removing cloudy sediment, sand, etc. And that we put on our boat just as we come from the stanchion into the boat. We have it right as on the aft cockpit. We have this filter. And we do put a canvas cover over it so it doesn't get the sunlight to build up the algae.
The second type of filter, Kim, is called a secondary filter, and a secondary filter is desirable just before the intake port on your house water tanks. So after you've run through your primary charcoal and sediment filter, you run through the hose, but I put a secondary filter at the end of that hose just before my intake port for my house water tanks.
Then other recommended filters, we strongly feel that it's important that all consumable water be EPA-registered bottle quality water, as you mentioned earlier, for cooking, drinking, tea, iced tea, coffee, cooking spaghetti, macaroni, rice, potatoes, etc. There's nothing worse than getting sick from impure water. The water purifier should be certified to meet EPA microbiological guide standards. And that would be removal of bacteria, chemicals, cysts, viruses, and other contaminants that could be in the water. And believe me, there can be all kinds in the water. Buying cases of bottled water is more expensive, really, than a good water purification system. And it is difficult and heavy to transport, to the boat and also bulky to store on the boat. I think one of the funny stories that we have is we were up in Kingston and a gentleman came down the boat with 6 cases of bottled water, and John said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Got to have something to drink." John said, "Come here." Came over, took his bottled water and took our water purification with 2 little glasses and said, "Here, taste." We know from a fact that before the end of his trip, he had on a water purification system on his his problem was he wrote an email, "I had trouble getting rid of the bottled water."
Yeah. All the bottled water he bought.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of funny.
Right.
There's 2 types of units that we are aware of that meet those standards. That is the EPA microbiological guide standards. And they are available from a firm called General Ecology. You can Google that, or I think I give their website address in the article on our website. But the two that they manufacture, the smaller of the two is called a Nature Pure QC2. The cost of the kit, the whole kit, is $325, and each additional filter, which we use maybe 1 or 2 a year.
But 1 a year.
Right now. But the Nature Pure filters 500 gallons of water.
And the filter is about the size of an oil filter, and it's approximately $60 to $70 to replace. So that's once a year. When we were on the loop, I think we used 2 in 1 year, the longest year we were on the loop. The second one
is called a Seagull, S-E-A-G-U-L-L. Its cost is a little bit more expensive. It's around $625 for the kit, but it filters, one filter there filters 1,000 gallons of water, and its number one claim to fame also is that it works very well with water makers. So if someone has a water maker on board, they would want to go to the Seagull unit. Both of the kits come with a faucet to be mounted on the galley sink area. All of the hoses, all of the brackets and containers and so on are all included. And it's only about a 2-hour job, a do-it-yourselfer, to install one of the kits.
Very,
very simple.
Very simple.
There's some other water filters, but I stress that these are not purifiers that one might also consider. One is called a Hydro Life Filter Kit, but it does not filter out some of the diseases, the bacteria, viruses, cysts, and so on.
It doesn't filter out viruses, and it doesn't fill out cystosporidia, which is, I'm not sure exactly what, but one of the others, but it filters chemicals, bacteria, lead, odor, and taste, which are some of the problems that you could have. Another one that we have is the...
We also have the SureFlow Universal Inline Water Filter. This is what I use for my secondary filter at the end of the hose just before I'm putting water into the house water tanks. So the SureFlow Universal Inline, here again, it's a water filter, not a sanitizer.
And
okay.
It will filter out almost everything but lead. It's fairly good, both of the SureFlow filters. So you have those two filters. There are charts, actually Camping World in their website and in their master catalog shows a chart of all the different water filters and what they will filter out and what they won't filter out. Just a source that we've used quite a bit to become informed about water filters. So we put the filter at the sink, and then that's when I fill all my purification system, and that's what I fill all my drinking and cooking water with.
And once it's installed, it certainly sounds like it's much more convenient than lugging around bottled water and a lot easier to store if you're just carrying with you maybe a filter or two. So definitely good advice. Other maintenance or chemicals are needed to sterilize the system and keep it sterilized?
One readily available sterilization chemical that has no bad taste is a small bottle of Aquabon. And That can be purchased. Most marine stores, it's used as a small quantity for quite a few gallons. If that's not available, then a very small amount of bleach, chlorine bleach, Clorox can be used.
If you're using chlorine bleach, you do have that taste if you're not careful. You don't want to be drinking a lot of chlorine bleach.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a good purification chemical.
We buy the Aquabon, and we put the Aquabon in our chemical tank, in our tanks, even though they're filtered, and we're using the water purification system for cooking, but we put it in the Aquabon in our tanks, in-house water tanks, just so that we can make sure everything is clean and pure.
Okay. And what other maintenance is recommended on the purification system or on the hose or anything we haven't talked about that we need to be aware of?
This is very, very important, Kim, because we tell everyone, start clean and keep it that way. That you, as you explained previously, you want to clean your white hose every couple of months. And the in-house water tank system also needs to be thoroughly cleaned, particularly after the boat has been laid up and there is antifreeze in those tanks over the winter months. But at least once or twice a month, once or twice a year, you need to shock the tanks by adding a quarter cup of chlorine bleach for every 15 gallons of water. Quarter cup of chlorine bleach for every 15 gallons of water. Top off the tanks and take the boat on a short cruise to shake things up a little bit. Then pump the tank water through each faucet so that all of the lines are filled with the water bleach mixture. Run the hot water longer to ensure that the hot water tank is filled with the mixture and goes through the water lines and through the faucets. Let the water stand in the system for 6 to 8 hours, then drain the entire system down as far as you can. To remove the bleach odor, mix 1/2 cup of baking soda with 1 gallon of water or 2 gallon of water and pour into the fresh water tank. Refill the tanks and completely pump this solution through the entire system, including the hot water tank. Now you've got everything sanitized and it's clean. You've cleaned the hose, you've put in new filters, and you've cleaned your in-house tanks. Now you've got it that way, you want to keep it that way, and you don't want to let any contaminants in if you can at all help it.
When we start up in the spring, I bring the bottled water down for the first week or two because we haven't set up the system, we haven't shocked putting the antifreeze in the water tanks in the winter. So I'm using, of course, that terrible bottled water that I have to carry back and forth. But then by the time we have the system shocked and we've redone the lines and then we get the filter into the purification system at the sink, then I've stopped. I don't have to bring bottled water to the boat anymore. So about two weekends down, we work on the water system and have it hooked up and shocked and then cleaned up so that we're ready to use everything on the boat with our purification system, and we feel that the water tanks are good and clean.
Okay. We are actually just about out of time. John and Judy, if any final thoughts that you'd like to add, and if you could also give your website so that if people want to go ahead and read the article that contains a lot of this, they know where to find it.
Okay, our website is part of our domain name. It's TWOJSCOM.com/ and then Great Loop with a capital G and a capital L. So it's capital GREAT, I'm sorry, LLOOP, Great Loop. And if you log on to there, you can also get to it through the AGLCA's directory, the blog
right.
directory.
And
so,
then on our front page or the opening page, we'll have the different articles that we've written and the article about water purification is titled Potable Water for Long-Range Boaters is on that to be clicked on.
There's an article section to our website, and basically it contains all of the long-range cruising articles that we've written, most of which were published in the Great Loop Blink many, many years ago.
The only emphasis
Perfect.
I have is nothing get worse getting sick than for bad water. So please take care of your water. It's important, more important than I think a lot of things on the boat.
That's great advice. I know I certainly learned a lot today, some things that I hadn't thought of or hadn't considered. So John and Judy Gill, thank you for joining us. If you're a member of AGLCA and want to, if you missed that website address or want to reach out to John and Judy by email, you can find them in the AGLCA directory on our website, which, of course, is greatloop.org. John and Judy Gill, again, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Welcome. Thank you, Kim.
And thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with another edition of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.